entrepreneurs, welcome to the Microsoft Virtual Academy. I have a very interesting guest in studio today, Professor Yuri van Vieren. Before I introduce him, please note that this session is specifically focused on ecosystem partners and to understand, is there maybe an entrepreneurship model you as an incubator, accelerator, business development organization, or anyone possibly training entrepreneurs could use in order to develop your ecosystem? So, let us start by introducing Prof. Yuri. Welcome, Prof.
Anya, thank you for having me.
Give us a little bit of background of where you've come from and where you are today.
Anya, when I started out, and actually, in fact, my first job was my own business. I had three businesses of my own. I've sold them all, luckily, against a profit. And by default, I eventually got involved in academia, teaching only entrepreneurship. So I'm at the University of Pretoria. Lecturing only postgraduate students, but I'm involved in a number of projects that's teaching entrepreneurs, startups, from the lowest level up to, I think, fairly complex businesses, because I also specialize in corporate entrepreneurship.
Goodness, you see why it's so very interesting. Having started your own business, having sold three, got more than 20 years lecturing experience and 20 years of entrepreneurship experience. So, Prof, there must be something fun about you. Life can't be just serious and all books. What is your favorite thing on planet Earth?
I think my favorite thing, my favorite pastime part for the sport. I like mingling, obviously, with my friends. But that's usually then around, like typically South African, a braai. But I live, eat, breathe entrepreneurship, because success of other entrepreneurs and startup entrepreneurs is one of the biggest pleasures I have in life. I like to assist people that are successful, that become successful. But maybe we'll get to that, that we as role players in the development of entrepreneurship sometimes do something that we give certain inputs, but we don't measure our outputs. But we'll get to that later, I believe so.
Okay, so before you tell us what you mean by true entrepreneurship with all this many years of experience, I see your mom said, on his grave will be written, he died of eating too much red meat, but enjoyed every moment of it. So besides entrepreneurship, I know Prof loves his red meat. So on to the next question. Prof, in your view and in your experience, what is true entrepreneurship?
Yeah, Anya, I think that we sometimes make the mistake, we are training entrepreneurs, and then in actual fact, we are training small business people. And please do not make the mistake that I said, but small business doesn't have a place. But we must remember that a small business, the whole intention of the entrepreneur is limited growth. They will start a business and they will say, listen, okay, two or three employees is good. I will then manage a business like that. And then obviously, if we have thousands of them in a country, then they create valuable jobs. And they create many a time in sustainable jobs. But the true power of entrepreneurship is to start a business and to grow the business. Because the power of entrepreneurship, and if you look at the United States, you look at Europe, Australia, the truly accelerating economies do true entrepreneurship, start and growth. Now, growth creates wealth. And that wealth is invested back into the country that eventually then create more jobs. So it's indicated, and that's the interesting thing, that if you use an economic model, that each job that you create influences five people positively.
Five people, so meaning five directly.
Five directly. In other words, there are five people that's influenced. So if you can take it, and just a simple calculation, we said, listen, okay, I have created 20 jobs, then I have in actual fact influenced 100 people positively and then made them less dependent on whatever they are dependent on that cannot be able then to be based on what happens in the business.
Goodness, that's most interesting. So Prof's definition of true entrepreneurship is saying starting a business, growing the business in order to create
wealth.
Huh, most interesting. Okay, that's a different way of looking at it. So, Prof, in saying that we want to generate wealth, is there then actually a formula that anyone who's an accelerator, an incubator, a partner, a bank, or anyone developing a course or a training model or a development model for entrepreneurs, is there a formula that we as ecosystem partners can actually use to develop these entrepreneurs?
Yeah, Anya, I think I must maybe start just a little bit before we get to the detail of a formula or then a certain model. I believe that when we put something in front of a group of people in terms of content, that we need a scientific basis to do that. If you go into the field of physics, there's a scientific foundation that serves their content. And therefore, they cannot be able to move away from it, because that is what's inherently then leading to success of the trainees or then of the attendees. Now, what I did when I designed this, and this is a number of years that I did when I designed this, I looked at some of the work out of the behavioral sciences, and it's work that's been done in 1960, 61 by then two guys at Harvard University. And they said that the performance of all people is then a function of their ability times their motivation they have.
So ability times motivation. So am I able to do it, and do I have the energy to get up and do it?
Yeah, and there are some people that say that because you, for example, you will get it. There were people that say, but okay, this guy has a high ability if he can only use that ability. And then you get people that, let's say, with an average ability, but they're highly motivated. So they outperform these people that's referred to as then the high ability people. So what I use then is I said, listen, okay, let's look at what is indicated in research over years in terms of the motivation side. And the motivation side that's outstanding for all entrepreneurs is their performance motivation or their need for achievement. Now, I think the audience can go and then look a little bit at the work of McClelland, wrote already in 1961. He did extensive training and also experimentation on this. And he found then when he developed their need for achievement, and we'll get to that and indicate to you that we can be able to do it, and it may be strange for the audience if I say we can train people in motivation.
Train people to be motivated.
Yeah.
Even though you wake up every day in the harshest circumstances, you can train people to be motivated.
Yeah.
And you can train them to be motivated.
I've done it many a time before.
Okay, hang in there. We're going to find out how.
I've done that many a time before. So in the process, we can be able then to multiply that then with their ability. Their ability being entrepreneurs is to have then entrepreneurial skills and business skills, then we can formulate a package that we can increase their entrepreneurship performance.
Okay, goodness. So this then relates to this development model that can be seen on the screen right now. It looks very mathematical. So as Prof indicated, you need a scientific background in order to do this, and that we will probably be starting off in discussing the motivational side first. So just to reiterate again, it's the entrepreneurial performance is a function of motivation, entrepreneurial skills multiplied by business skills.
Yes, but I think you also have to take into account just this background. The background to this is all of us and all of the people out there, in actual fact, have a certain level of entrepreneurial performance. It can be very low, it can be around about medium. If it's very low, then the probability of starting up a business is very low. If it's let's say, to make it easy, then on a medium level, we can always increase that. Even if it's on a high level, we can then increase that as well. So we can be able to make them and say, okay, you have a certain level of motivation now, of entrepreneurship performance now, but we can help you to then accelerate that. Now, it all boils down to excellence, but maybe let's put it in simple terms. We have to be able to, as trainers, educators, business developers, we must be able to get people excited. Okay. Because without excitement, there's not going to be a positive attitude. With that positive attitude, we're not going to find it that people say, but I can do it. And this is what we teach people. I teach people the cognitive thinking skills, and that sounds very, very big words, but it's not that simple, difficult. Then to be able to get excited, in actual fact, to excite themselves.
Okay, Prof. Sir, this need for achievement. Why and where do we start?
Okay, now that also has a little bit of a background. There was a guy, this guy McClellan that I referred to, he said, all of us have three needs. We have a need for then power, we've got a need for affiliation, in other words, people loving us, people then having them cared for us. And then on the other hand, we have a need for achievement, to be excellent. So he then said, okay, let's work on the excellence of people and see whether we can be able to do it. So if you look at that model, on that model, you'll see that it starts with the need. The need exists. The need exists in all of people. So it's not the fact that we have to create the need. The need's there. That's been proven many, many years ago. So what we have to do now is we've got to then take that need and reinforce that need. Now I'm going to jump and take you to the top level there, on the top side, and that is where we say, in the process, let's look at the achievement picture that we have to create. All entrepreneurs must have a picture in terms of where they want to be. For example, they look at their businesses and they say, listen, okay, in 3 years' time, I want my business to have a $50,000 or then a 50,000 rand turnover per month. And that must be his clear, established then picture that he's working towards.
So this need that you are expressing, Prof, is this a short term, a medium term, or a long term?
And yet it exists in human beings, in all human beings.
So it can be as big as your brain can imagine.
It's always there. It's in my makeup, and it's in your makeup, and it's the makeup of the guy then that's walking the street. We are people. It's like if the people know this work then of Maslow, we have basic needs, and we have social needs, and we have the insecurity needs.
Yes.
The same thing is here that we have needs, and that is the need for achievement and the need then to be excellent. Okay, now if we have that picture, we can be able to establish that picture. Maybe I can just give this tip, if it's possible for the audience.
Sure, tip coming on.
Yeah, take, if it's possible to get your hands on this specific DVD. And this DVD is a DVD that is an excellent Need for Achievement DVD. Go and get yourself the DVD of Men of Honor.
Men of Honor, okay.
And then you look at Men of Honor, but before you do that, you get yourself a tissue, or then
a box of tissues,
and you will see then what then Need for Achievement is all about.
Goodness, Prof, if I recall, that is the movie about the guy who wanted to be a Navy SEAL and the diver, right?
The first,
you need a box of tissues.
The first African American that eventually he then allowed them to put off his leg, and eventually he still then got to be a Master Chief. But okay.
Yes, yeah.
That is just on the sideline. That's a proof of that. So if that achievement picture is clearly established, I always say to entrepreneurs, if I wake you in the middle of the night and I ask you just this one short question, what is your achievement picture or then your achievement imagery regarding your business? You must immediately say to me, this is what it is, that you can know exactly where it is. That's how clear it must be in your mind. But okay, you're not going to just stick to that.
No.
You're not going to just stick to that. You need a few skills in the way that we think. And now I then also want to give you this tip. And this tip is also then something that entrepreneurs as well as the developers must then take into account. People do what they think.
People do what they think.
People do what they think. In other words, okay. They act what they think. I can use bizarre examples to be able then to indicate that to you.
Okay, give us the craziest one that's top of mind.
The craziest one can be then there is a thought process that precedes somebody to murder somebody else.
That's scary. Okay.
Yeah.
So if that could apply to entrepreneurship, imagine the power.
Exactly. But what we think, we do. In other words, if we can be able to equip entrepreneurs, then to think in an entrepreneurial way, taking this achievement picture into account, we can be able to excite them. Because take it into account. I worked then in the rural areas, and you ask some of the guys there, but you wake up in the morning, you wake up there, your small little house, and there it is then on a hill in the Eastern Cape in South Africa. And how motivated are you? After I've taken them through this program, they are totally different people. And they are thinking about the world in a total different way. Because they find themselves that they suddenly see the world and that the world is in something where they can be excellent in.
Yes. So if we look at this model and we take that specific example through this model for achievement behavior, obviously they've got a need to excel and make a better living of where they are. They've got a picture that they'll develop for themselves and ultimately where they want to be, what they want to achieve with their business idea. And then definitely they'll have the personal blocks and the world blocks that are affecting their thinking patterns and their achievement picture. And then there's this little last block which says the help. So Prof, how do we help them?
And can I just quickly elaborate on the first four there on the bottom of the screen?
Sure. So the success expectation,
the feelings of success. If we find ourselves that we think in a certain way, I'm going to now use an example that I think is easily understandable. If we look at, for example, you're a student. And you think in a certain way, you say to yourself, if I think in a certain way, okay, I'm going to prepare myself for this assessment, for this studying, then obviously you expect success if you prepare yourself properly. After you have then been successful, and you think back about it and you say to yourself, but I feel now success, I've achieved well, I've done well, then I must keep on preparing myself. The difficult thing is that we have to deal with those then failures because nobody wants to fail. We fail in business, and there are many failures in business. But now, if you expect failure, for example, a student do not prepare for anything, they can expect failure. So what are we supposed to do? The trick in that is we have to teach entrepreneurs to think away from then the failure. They know that they're going to fail. Their cash flow is, for example, in trouble. Mm-hmm. They are not then putting aside then enough money to buy stock. They can expect failure. So they must then, from their side, apply their minds and say, okay, I am not going to do that. The bad one in this whole thing, let's say the culprit, is to experience failure, to feel failure, because that is obviously very demotivating. But what you have to teach them is to say, listen, entrepreneurs, be honest with yourself. Be blatant honest with yourself. If you think back about what happened now, don't you think that there's been some kind of a little bit of a stupidity on your side? You can be a little bit angry about what happened there because you could have expected the following. I've made mistakes like that in my business. And I said, listen, okay, I'm going to do that. I could have expected that it's going to, in retrospect, I could have expected that it's not going to work. But okay, if you can be able to do it, you still then are on your way to your achievement picture. Now, we have a problem sometimes with personal blocks. And those personal blocks block us. And we say, listen, but the world is against me. Now, with all due respect, there's always a way to come around in some of these world blocks. I find myself, I am in, let's say, Zimbabwe. Everything is against me. And therefore, I'm going to find myself that this whole personal block is there. But if you look at successful entrepreneurs, they've been in the same situation. Go and read. And that's what I would expect then also for the developers to include in then some of the teachings that they do, to say, listen, okay, look at then the success stories of other entrepreneurs, because those guys 10 to 1 were confronted with the same personal blocks. Mm. Personal blocks, and yet the fact is true entrepreneurs find themselves, that they surround themselves with good people. You don't have to be then a medical practitioner to put up a private hospital. You can put up a private hospital without then being a medical practitioner yourself. You can assemble them. You can get them around you. So you can get around that. The critical thing in here, in terms of, you refer to the help, is that we can't do things alone. We need assistance. And we have to teach entrepreneurs that do this thing on your own, yeah. Somewhere along the line, somebody is going to, or you're going to need certain then help. Be it then from your suppliers, or be it then eventually from then your customers, which also sometimes leads to then finance, how you're going to be able then to then raise funding.
Yeah, any of the business functions which you might not be strong
yeah,
at.
Yeah, well, you're not strong maybe in negotiations, you're not strong in labor relations, and in the process you say, listen, but I need people. The same way then people sometimes start and then they say to me, but I can't do accounting. Then you source that in.
Exactly.
You say, listen, okay, I'm going to get these guys to be able to do it. But I've become very, very aware of this. I'm lecturing on a program at Florida University in the States, on a program there. And those MBA students come out to South Africa, and they take on 2 or 3 then small entrepreneurs there down in then the Cape Flats. And what happens there is they have to take it on as clients and they have to assist these people. And the biggest problem of the Americans is the following. And every time that I lecture on this, the question is, how do you motivate these people to take action? So a prerequisite to get to your achievement picture is to take action yourself. That A plus makes this thing work. You cannot be excited. You cannot be, usually put it this way, you can shiver of then the motivation. But if you don't take action, nothing's going to happen.
Exactly. I fully agree, Prof. I've even seen in life with entrepreneurs, no matter where you are, what you've been doing, those that always look back and say, well, I didn't even start. It's those that actually just took the first step to move forward are those that actually get the game going. Prof, tell us a little bit about this resulting behavior as an entrepreneur.
And can I just, before I do that, just maybe refer to some successes that we've had. Now, that was specifically now with urban entrepreneurs that we've trained in the townships around then Tshwane.
Africa or South Africa, okay.
Yeah. We had a very good and high level of success after we've applied this model. And that was around about a 68% of startup rate, and 68% of those guys, after 24 months, have still been in business. And those guys started out with nothing. They didn't have a thing.
Nothing.
We generated that for them. And in the process, you'll see when we get to the entrepreneurial skills, it's something that we can be able to assist them with. But the fact is, they took action. And therefore, they had this achievement picture of where they wanted to be. And they said, listen, okay, I want to be able to start this business. And then eventually, they started up to be able to do it. Okay, regarding then the resulting behavior as an entrepreneur, we want to get that little spiral we want to get going. In other words, I've now referred to the thinking. The correct kind of entrepreneurial thinking needs to be able to be generated. So we as developers must be able to do that. But what is that kind of thinking? That kind of thinking must be success thinking. Thinking about success. Because successful thinking requires a successful attitude. And that leads to the attitude. Now, if you have a negative attitude, you can't spot opportunities. And if you can't spot opportunities, you're not going to go forward. And opportunities are not going to walk to you. Opportunities need to be found. So if you're not going to go out there and say, listen, opportunities are here, and therefore we're going to use these opportunities, we are not going to be able to do it. And then you have to take action after you've seen it, because there are other prospective entrepreneurs and existing entrepreneurs that if you leave the gap to them, maybe a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, they're going to spot that opportunity as well. So if you don't take action as soon as possible, then you're not going to be able then to utilize that. I'll give you a practical example just in a moment. But typically what entrepreneurs will do, they will ask for feedback. And they will say, listen, okay, in terms of the thinking I've had and the success that I've had, am I still on track? Can I still do it? And then they adjust their thinking and say, listen, okay, I've got to then be able to change this. When I started my first business was in the gardening industry. And we started out with 7 clients, 2 employees. Okay, to make a long story short, eventually we had over 500 customers and 75 people that worked for us. And in the process, there were a number of opportunities that we utilized that worked on our cash flow. For example, at a certain stage, you must know there's a window period in the gardening industry where you can generate then extra cash very quickly. So what I did is, I said to my drivers, listen guys, you take then this and this compost, you lie on this, it's a 5-ton truck. On a Saturday morning, you're gonna stand close to a highway and I want every bag I want sold. Here's the price. And if you can do it quickly enough, you take it back, but here's your incentive. You can be able to get this money out of this deal. I have moved tons of that compost every Saturday, but it is only for 6 weeks, but I generate a lot of cash to be able to do it, because there, the customers pay with cash. They can't take their cards or they can't give you checks, they pay you with cash. So it's a short period, and obviously, after a while, then the other competition guys also started to do that.
Okay, yeah, that was bold in telling a real-life entrepreneur story. So, Prof, just to wrap up on this first part of the ecosystem entrepreneurship model that we're going to be sharing, give us some closing thoughts.
Anya, I think that we must, as developers, we must walk out of a session, out of an interaction, out of the intervention that we made. And we must know at least one thing. That is, we have motivated and we have empowered these entrepreneurs that we deal with to think and act in the right way. It's difficult, or it's easy to be able to sit in a venue. It's easy to be visited in an incubator. It's easy to be taken out there. But the success rate of incubators is not very high, but at least not in South Africa, because they are then taken, but okay, it's in actual fact, I know then a number of incubators in the UK as well, and it's also not that successful. It's a serious situation you create inside that incubator, but then it's tough to go out. It's easy to be able to, we've got a mentorship program as well, to take them into the mentorship program. After you've done that, now they're on their own. So we have to be able to equip them with the correct thinking and motivation skills that they can be able to reinforce that every day.
Very good point. Very good point. So, Prof, what role does the student then play in this process? Because we now know that as developers, we have to make sure that we start with the motivation skills first. But what is the role of the student in this whole process?
And yet they've got a huge responsibility. The responsibility is that they must be prepared to, from their side, how can I put it, buy in to then the fact that they have chosen a specific career. I always say that entrepreneurship is not a happening. Entrepreneurship is not an event.
It's a career.
So you've chosen that career. There's a guy once that in one of my programs, you know, in the 15,000 more or less people that I've seen in my life, I've come across very, very different opinions. But There's one guy said to me, I said to him, listen, but okay, what's your business idea? He told me what he's going to do. And I said to him, but okay, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? And then he said to me, but don't look so perplexed. Don't look so worried about this. I'm going to get myself a real career one day. So I said, listen, you have chosen a career. You want to be an entrepreneur. That's why you are here. So they've got a huge responsibility to see, listen, but okay, it's the beginning of a career. And we've got this problem in Africa, that it is not then a career choice. Because per definition, you can look at all the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor reports on African countries that are participating. We're not very high in terms of then our total entrepreneurship activity, because we don't see it as careers. And that's the student's responsibility. The learner has a responsibility to say, listen, okay, I'm going to make this thing work. Because if you have created that, then all three businesses I've started, if you have been able then to eventually get that baby and it's so close to your heart that you eventually can be able to get it then that it becomes then a teenager, then it is obviously, it is one of the most satisfying experiences in life. Every time that I've been able to do that, I said to myself, but that is really self-actualization or an achievement then from then the, myself, something that's really motivating.
Sure, Prof. You've got so many stories to tell. We can't wait for part two and part three. So if this scientific approach is something that really interests you, we can refer you to three of the following resources, an article that is listed here that is in the SA Journal of Business Management, and then a book, Strategic Entrepreneurship, and then there's a Google Scholar that you can have a look at. So ecosystem partners, accelerators, incubators, if you want to see whether there's an entrepreneurship ecosystem development model, watch this three-part series. See you in part two. Thank you.